KBOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM live and local. It is the third Friday of the month, and that means we're excited to bring you What's In Outdoors with Phil Totten. And Council Grove Lake, and I guess I understand from you, Phil, that you've had quite the visual out there this morning, huh?
Goodness gracious, Ron, I guarantee you. I'm sure glad I got hardwood floors in this house, because if it was carpet, I'd done wore them out between Studio North and Studio South. But I get up generally around 6 o'clock in the morning. I just love to see the land wake up, you know, in front of me, the birds and the sun come up. Most of the time it is. And I tell you, I'm really happy to hear that forecast of rain. I always said, you know, how low the lake is down there, and I've always said, five bricks, and that's what it is now. And I took in a little bit of initiative. I went out there and measured just how big one of those bricks were. And so they're 6 inches, so I guess the lake is 2.5 feet low. But walking out there, two eagles went right out of the cottonwood trees right above me. And so that's been going on just ever since I saw the sun coming up, and the seagulls and the eagles are all out there working on the winter-killed shad. So it's going to be a good day for walleye viewing here at 108 Flint Hill Zoo.
I'll tell you, that's an exciting start to the day right there.
Oh, I'm still shaking. I wish I had the camera skills that some of my friends do. And, of course, I invited Brad Lovelace to join us on the show to talk about that trout stocking that we had there at Payrock earlier in the week, so want to go to that right quick, and then later on in the show we'll have a fishing report. So welcome to the show, Brad. How are you doing this morning?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Phil. Thank you. It's a beautiful frosty morning, like you said. I'm doing fine, thank you.
Well, the lake has been freezing back over right in front of my very eyes since I woke up. I'm a little bit happy with that, because it is a natural state of mind out there, but I hate it, because I've been catching some catfish and some big old carp lately off the dock, and I'm trying to get these eagles to take that carp off my hands.
Understand. I saw in your note the other day you caught a couple channel cats, and of course they bite year-round. And talking about ice, we had some. It's gone. Now it's coming back a little bit, like you said, and ice out's a great time for viewing eagles. Like you said, tends to concentrate them. They like to go after the shad that wash up on the shore, but so do our catfish. I don't know what you were using for your channel cats the other day, but we've got great channel cat fisheries and blue cats real close there to Emporia, and this is maybe the best time of year to catch them. They're moving in the shallows to catch those winter kill gizzard shad blowing up on that shoreline, and boy, you can catch them in a few inches of water, and like fishing for sharks out there, and it's a great time. And Melvern right up the road, Redmond, great fisheries around for blue cats.
I tell you, today would be a good day to get out if people aren't working on Fridays. That's one of the things that run into life with you, that job that we do. But Brad, you know, just last week or so, they put a stocking of trout over there at Kings Lake. And, of course, Daphne Mays is doing some great things over there with the Prophet Aquatic Research and Outreach Center and the programs we're doing. But trout across Kansas, of course, they're not native to Kansas. Just how successful has that trout stocking program been for walleye and parks?
Well, I'm glad you asked. We were a little bit hesitant to start that because they aren't native, and we know come summertime they're going to be gone. They won't survive the warm water. But we did this in an experiment some years ago, and it has turned out really well. We sell permits. Of course, you have to have a special permit to fish for our trout in the winter. But that has really funded that program. It's surprisingly popular all across the state. Of course, King Lake right there is one of our new stockings because of all the work that Bamasaw Pescar and you have done in that community. So King Lake is coming on great. I think we just put a 1,000 fish in there. But what we do is we start stocking in November. We stock it through March. And so it's a wintertime fishery, but on a sunny day without much wind, man, there's no better place to be. And I've fished that, taken my grandkids out, and it's just a treat in the winter to catch a beautiful rainbow trout. And very popular, and King Lake, like I said, is a new fishery for us, and between the university and us doing a lot of work right there, and it's so close, right? Just, you know, throw a rock from the highway and get to it right there. Easy access for folks around Emporia, and we hope they catch every one of those trout out. We love the fact that we put them in, and people are so successful at taking them out.
Brad, I know in our conversations you like to fly fish, and I got involved with fly fishing with Bill Hartman many years ago. If you'd ever told me I'd have been out in a tube on December 12th in Kansas trying to learn to fly fish, I'd say, well, we're definitely on the wrong channel. But the trout we catch now, it's not fly fishing so much. I guess you could use the fly fishing combos and equipment. But if you were going to go fish Kings Lake, Brad, today, how would you fish for those trout?
Yeah, the simple way, Phil, that I think an awful lot of people use is use a prepared bait like a power bait, just on a small hook, and hook size does matter. So if you can get those kind of salmon egg hooks, those real small short shank hooks in like a size 10 or even a size 12 that really buries and hides in that power bait or salmon egg, whatever you want to use, under a float. And just, I mean, typically they work the shoreline. They'll kind of swim parallel to the shoreline in a circle. So if you're out in, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 feet of water, work out there until you start getting nibbles. And typically once you get on that pattern, you can really catch your limit in a hurry. So that's what I would do. However, back to your point about fly fishing or other techniques, they'll take anything out there. The key is to remember, it's while they're a cold water fishery, they still are slowed down with these water temperatures. So you got to fish slow, and whatever you present has got to be at a slow enough pace that they can chase it and catch it, because they aren't in the mood to move very fast. So slow things down, but even whether you're using the fly, however you want to present it, or a spinner fish real slowly, you can catch those fish, and they're aggressive out there and delicious, like I said, to eat.
I was talking to Brent Fazee, and of course, Brent's, to me, the ideal outdoor reporter and they're at Riss Lake in Missouri. They're catching quite a bit of trout there, and he mentions using, it's a little spoon, sort of like a little Cleo, something that is, like you said, slow and flutters down real easy, and it's something you really don't want to fish fast. And he also is saying these real deal Ned rigs are awful good this time of year for trout. But I'm glad you mentioned hunt. Go ahead, sir.
No, you're exactly right. Everything you're saying makes sense, and you're right. Brent's he's an expert, so I'd listen to him all day long.
Well, Brad, what successful programs did Wildlife and Parks have in 2022? And, you know, of course, I'm optimistic that the quail numbers are coming back. I'm a little bit still disappointed with pheasants, but, you know, it is what it is. I think the drought has really hurt our pheasant population. And of course, lack of cover in the cold, freezing weather is another thing that will do it. But what successes do you see we've had in 2022, and what's in store for 2023? From a department viewpoint?
Yeah, well, I think, Phil, that our we can talk about wildlife, but our fishery program's been particularly successful the last few years. We've got, you know, we talked about fishing locally around there for a couple species around Emporia, but we've got in our magazine, we've got the my favorite edition of the year, the fishing forecast, coming out here in March and April, and it's got extensive data all across the state, whether you want to fish big impoundments or small ones, on what to catch and where. And I mean, it's the best data our biologists come up with. And so it's a great guide to local places where you can catch your favorites, whether it's walleye or crappie or largemouth bass or catfish. Or if you want to take a little trip, you know, a little bit farther out in the state to go to a real hot spot, there's ones not too far from Emporia for that too. So that's a wonderful guide. And I think our biologists and our communications specialists do a great job of putting that information right at the angler's fingertips to make that easy to use. We've got our fishing, you know, forecast and our discussions by our local biologists saying what's biting and where, on individual lakes, so we try to make it as easy as possible. You mentioned about wildlife and upland birds. Let me mention waterfowl real quick. We have been super successful in the last several years in renovating several of our key wildlife areas around the state, and our waterfowl has really been remarkable. In fact, it's so good that we're starting to have our residents say, holy cow, can you keep some of these non-residents away? Because we've become a destination place for waterfowlers around the country. So hopefully our residents who have a great advantage being close by are using that, because great places right down the road from Emporia where a lot of your listeners are at. And so that's really been terrific and a great improvement. Of course, we're doing extensive renovations on Cheyenne Bottoms. Those are complete now. We were dry last summer, just didn't have any inflows. So it was perfect time for us to do all those renovations. But it's going to be better than it's ever been. When you're managing for waterfowl, it's all about water management, getting it on when you need to and getting it off when you need to. And Cheyenne Bottoms will never be better than it will be in the next few years because of the work that we've done with Ducks Unlimited as a key partner out there. So that's going to be exciting. When it comes to upland, Phil, sorry to talk so much, but I'm excited. Upland, our quail populations are doing better, particularly in the west, but we're seeing some come back here in the east. I heard three coveys a little while back from off my back porch, and so they're coming on here in eastern Kansas. Western Kansas, they've been very steady, high populations of quail. I talk to people all around the country who come out here to hunt quail, and if they get pheasants, that's a bonus, but they come for quail. Now, we have had some good pheasant successes. I was down in southwest Kansas, Garden City area last weekend, and we found pheasants. They weren't like they were maybe at their peak, 20 or 30 years ago, but we found good numbers of pheasants and quail also. Northwest, I was talking to some folks up there, having consistent luck on walking hunting ground. You have to pick the best habitat, just like you said, Phil. It's all about habitat, and when we have a lot of grasses that have been cut, hayed, things like that, it's just not as good. But if you can find that good cover associated with crop land, especially Milo, that's a terrific combination, and people are consistently finding birds when they can get in that kind of habitat.
Sir, just keep on talking. I'm loving it, because I know what you're talking about. I can relate to that. And, Brad, I know you've been out there, and especially not so much your job. I know how much you love being out into the woods and on the waters and seeing what's going on out there. And so I just appreciate the work you and the department are doing to keep Kansas outdoors the state it is. How about deer harvest, Brad? Has it been numbers been pretty good this year?
Yeah, they have been good. People continue to take trophy deer here in Kansas. We're a destination place everybody wants to come to, and we're trying. You mentioned our staff. I couldn't be proud of our staff. We have a research group for the whole state, works out at Emporia right there, and they're top-notch biologists, scientists. So we try to base our decisions based on the best science we have, not only the biology of the critters out there and what their populations are doing, but also consider the human dimensions part, what people want, anglers and hunters to pursue, and then also bird watchers. So we've got a lot of those in Kansas and a lot of things to see. So we're basing our decisions based on the data that they collect, and then make our management decisions from that. We have had a good deer season. We're challenged, as you're aware, Phil, for this chronic wasting disease coming from the West. We're working with our commission to try to figure out ways that we can slow the spread of that. There's no cure for that right now, but in the meantime, we're trying to keep levels low, keep it constrained to where it is in the state so far, and not let it spread quickly to other areas. So that's important, but we still have high population levels of deer in southeastern Kansas. We are doing everything we can to encourage harvest down there. Other parts of the state, it's It's more steady as it has been. Northwest, where chronic wasting disease has been the worst, we're starting to see some impacts to reproduction and recruitment of those deer because of that chronic wasting disease. So it's a pretty dynamic situation in Kansas. So we're constantly adjusting the harvest to try to match what we're seeing out there on the landscape and to try to manage things. And let me run then over to turkey. People have seen some declines in turkeys in the last several years. A lot of that's due to just they boomed like new populations do. They kind of reach a maximum and then drop off. And we're trying to figure out where that leveling off point is for Kansas. Not so much a habitat issue with turkey, although it's some when it comes to good nesting and brood rearing habitat can be in short supply. But in general, we think this is mostly a function just of that peak population of, you know, when you introduce something new, hasn't been around for a long time, dropping off. And so what we're trying to do is figure out what appropriate harvest is so it doesn't negatively impact that population. And so we've shifted, and we're going to propose in a year to have non-residents be on a draw system where they don't get over-the-counter tags like they've always been able to do, again, to try to reduce that harvest a little bit. We still want residents to be able to get their permit easily and to take their turkey, but we're just trying to cater to residents as best we can while still allowing some non-residents to come in, take a turkey, spend their money here in Kansas, and still take care of the population, which is our main job.
Brad, you hit on a lot of interesting points, especially I don't know how many people that hunt and fish really understand the work that you do, what the department does, what goes on with wildlife commissions and the things you agree with, and what comes on in to figuring what you're going to do. And so we better go to our first break, but when we come back, I'd like to talk about the impact of LiveScope, and I did see that the Alabama rig now is legal to use in Kansas, and then also I'd like to talk about ISAT walleye. So if you can stay with us more, I sure appreciate you, Brad.
Will do.
Still thinking about making a New Year's resolution? Add auto service and car maintenance to your list with help from Express Tire and Auto. Whether you drive a car, truck, or UTV, the professionals at Express Tire and Auto can help with free tire checks, new tires, and automotive repairs. They're also an authorized Polaris dealer for service and accessories, including heated options for your UTVs. Express Tire and Auto, 806 East 12th, open Monday through Friday until 5:30 and Saturdays till noon.
KVOE Live and a local, 25 degrees on our way to 47 today. What's in Outdoors with Phil Totten, brought to you this morning by Express Tire and Auto. John and Jenny and the exceptional crew at Express Tire and Auto on East 12th will take great care of you. And back to Council Grove Lake and Phil Totten and more of What's in Outdoors. Phil?
Ron, I did sneak out to Studio South, and the eagles are still there, so I'm going to be setting up me a blind and see if I can't do some shooting with my camera. I tell you, it's an exciting morning here at Council Grove. And we have listeners. We have Brad Lovelace on the show with us this morning, and a wealth of knowledge on Kansas outdoors. I'm just really, I don't get enough of Brad when I talk with him, I guarantee you. But, Brad, the work of the commission, that's one of the things that you set into. They've got a lot of tough decisions that come in there. I know a lot of people don't agree with them. I do know the biologists and the people that I know have worked with the commission. They're really sincere in making Kansas one of the best outdoor states to recreate and to enjoy the great outdoors. Lately, I haven't read about it, but I know legalizing the what we call the Alabama rig came into play, and then also the use of LiveScope. And with the work of the biologists and surveys, of course, I'm always big on being a hunter's ed teacher, talking about a violation of fair chase. But just how does all this come into play, Brad, when we legalize such things to use to harvest wild game?
Yeah, great point. Fair chase is important, that we give wildlife a fair chance. You know, when I'm fishing or trying to shoot at something, it's more than fair because I'm so terrible at both of those things that they have too good a chance to survive with me. But what we always do is we think about we rely on the best research, like I said before, and then also we're oftentimes fortunate that other states have gone before us and have tried these things, and we can go based on their success or their failures around that. With LiveScope, it's kind of the latest technology. You're aware of it, Phil, and you've been around it, and it can be used effectively. We've actually done some research that we've published in the journals that the fishery biologists use across the country about an experiment with people using LiveScope versus people that don't have it. And that, of course, is with novices, people that are new to the technology, trying it for the first time. We know, like about any technology, when people become expert on it, they get more proficient with it. And that's true with LiveScope. But what we found in our research, we did a study on both crappie and on blue cats, that a new person using LiveScope doesn't benefit too much, not significantly from a scientific perspective in what they can harvest. But experts like, you know, some of the folks who fish around Emporia there get pretty good at it, and they can target fish and specific fish in certain circumstances. So we know it gives those folks an advantage. But importantly, our regulations, our bag limits still are in effect. So if they can catch, and the same thing goes for the Alabama rig, if they can catch, you know, their limit of fish or as many as they want before they go home faster, it's still the same number of fish that they're taking home. So really no impact to the fishery. And as we set limits and both length and creel limits on our water bodies, what we're trying to accomplish is to make a sustainable yield, just like we do for wildlife populations, so people can benefit from it, but we still conserve the species. We use it wisely. So we try to allow technologies because people want to use them, and we don't tend to say no unless we've got a really good biological reason to do that. When it comes to most fishery populations, those fish are in there a few years. As long as we can preserve enough of the adults to reproduce, then, you know, you can take a lot of those fish out, and it's not a problem. That's the conversation we always get into with crappie, where people want to have folks take fewer and fewer out. And we understand the sentiment, trying to conserve. They don't like people taking home a cooler full of crappie, but there are very few circumstances, especially in our bigger reservoirs, where that we feel like that those 50 fish creel limits ever impact that population. And if people can catch them, enjoy them at home, you know, when they cook them, you know, that's terrific from our perspective. As long as it doesn't impact the population, we're happy. So new technology, typically we allow as long as we don't feel like it violates fair chase, to your point, and also it maintains sustainable populations.
Well, Brad, I know with ice out, our reservoirs, people are thinking about walleye fishing. And now, yeah. Other than, you know, I don't know for sure how long the department has been stocking sockeye in our state reservoirs, but I know Council Grove Reservoir has a good population of sockeye in it. Can you tell us, if you were going to go fishing for walleye and you want to take advantage of Opry spawn, where they're hanging out or might be moving up to the dams, just when, what keys on that? When will that time come for us Kansas fishermen to get out and harvest walleye?
Yeah, it's coming right up. We typically do our spring walleye netting to collect males and females to create our fish in our hatcheries in early March. So it's pretty chilly right now, but within about a month, we expect those fish to start moving in, again, based on, you know, the specific weather that we've got. But they'll be moving in those shallows, just like you said, Phil, looking to spawn. Will, you mentioned sockeye and walleye, and don't forget about sauger too. We have a great, one of the best sauger populations in the state up at Perry Reservoir, not too far away from Emporia. But for walleye, El Dorado is a great reservoir. Milford has been great for a lot of years. Marion, right up the road, is a good reservoir for walleye. Sawguy, Council Grove is one of our top reservoirs in the whole state. Council Grove is right up there. Clinton is good. Pomona's good. Melbourne's good. So a lot of good sawguy populations close by in your listing area, and those are great fish to catch. Have a little more aggressive at taking a hook than a walleye, but bigger than a sauger. So a really nice hybrid that people can enjoy and eats just like a walleye, just delicious on the table. And like I said, Council Grove, Clinton, Pomona, Melbourne, all good for those sawguy. And that inshore bite is a good one. When they're coming into spawn is a great time to get them. Again, cold water, you got to fish slowly, but very popular fishery. And then don't forget about it when the water warms up. Those fish are still out there, and you can locate them. Sometimes even inshore, in shallow areas, they'll chase shad up there in the warmer months. And you can do well that way, too. So definitely worth chasing, and some great fisheries close by Emporia.
Brad, I know the eagles, my photographer friends, they always call me up. Phil, where can I find the eagles? Where's the great spots? I know Kansas has a lot of lakes and state parks that really put word out on their eagle populations. Have you heard of any good viewing this year right now in Kansas where people can go?
Oh, absolutely, Phil. You mentioned seeing them on Council Grove. Like, really, all our bigger water bodies have them. And they're even moving out. Our population's increased so much. I can remember my early days when we were helping look at the very first eagle nests in Kansas, and now we've got hundreds of nests across the state, even out into the Flint Hills. I've seen them out away from big water bodies. So the population is doing really well. Council Grove's a great place to see them. We've got them at Melbourne, got them at Redmond also. One of the places that's always been a hot spot for, and they have, in fact, eagle viewing days, is up at Milford. Big water body, a lot of gizzard shad. Eagles really hang out up there, and also, of course, they'll chase waterfowl, especially wounded waterfowl in the winter. Another one is Clinton. Clinton has an Eagle Day celebration up there in Lawrence. It's a neat event. They've been doing it for the first Eagle Days all across the state. Now we've got them everywhere, but the first one was up there at Clinton and Lawrence, and they still have a very popular Eagle Day celebration. So really, all over the place, you can see these beautiful birds and get to enjoy them while they're here.
Brad, most of these events are posted on the KS Outdoors webpage, aren't they, where people, you know, to me, it's just a great source to find out about Outdoor Kansas, and also that magazine. About every show, I mention something that's been in that magazine and relating the stories to it. And to me, it's just a great testament on how great Kansas is for people in the outdoors. But really appreciate you being on the show, Brad. Are you going to try to make it to that National Fishing Expo this weekend over at KCI?
Yeah, I'm hopeful to get up there, Phil. I got a couple conflicts, but I'm trying to work through them to get over there. We were up there together last year, and it was a great show, and I'm hopeful to get up there again this year.
Well, I sure appreciate you being on the show, Brad, and looking forward to talking to you more. Well, Ron, let's go to that last break, and we'll close up the show.
All right, you're tuned in to What's In Outdoors, KVOE Live and Local.
Still thinking about making a New Year's resolution? Add auto service and car maintenance to your list with help from Express Tire and Auto. Whether you drive a car, truck, or UTV, the professionals at Express Tire and Auto can help with free tire checks, new tires, and automotive repairs. They're also an authorized Polaris dealer for service and accessories, including heated options for your UTVs. Express Tire and Auto, 806 East 12th, open Monday through Friday until 5:30 and Saturdays till noon.
KBOE Live and Local, What's In Outdoors, brought to you by Express Tire and Auto, East 12th near the Water Tower. John and Jenny, the exceptional crew there, take great care of you, Phil Totten. Great interview here this morning with Brad Loveless, the Secretary of Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks. Good stuff there, Phil.
Ron, we mentioned the expo there. A local lady here named Mary Kay Myers. sometimes I wonder if she's just quite right. So I know she looks at me and wonder if I am. And there's two eagles now flying over Studio North, Ron. I need to get off this radio show and get this camera to work.
Yeah, indeed.
If I knew how to do it. But, when the weather really got bad, and, of course, one of my jobs down here at the reservoir is taking care of the trash in the park and also filling propane bottles. And there was somebody out there on one of her docks. And I thought, well, that's a little bit strange. I hope they're okay. And then coming back, they were still out there. So I went down there and checked, and that was Mary Kay. She was out there trying to give ice fishing a try. But this lady is an avid outdoors person. She fishes from a kayak, limb lines, and she's going to be doing seminars there at that expo on Sunday at noon. So I hope to get out there and talk with her. I talked with Joe Bragg this morning right before the show because I wanted to see a fishing report there at Milford. And he said things are thawing out up there by the Wakefield Causeway. And with them thawing out there, that's where you can catch a lot of big blues from the shore. And like Brad and I talked about in our interview, those fish now are moving up into shallower water and feeding on that winter kill shad. Joe also mentioned that going across that causeway, he saw the eagles out there pecking on something big. So I'd imagine maybe one of those big blue cats. I never made it through the winter, so that's just something to see. And Milford is just a great place to go around and see the sights. I went up there with an old high school friend of mine, and we drove through some areas that we used to hunt. You talk about the memories. And we got a special permit to go onto the base again and drive through it, and goodness, that Fort Riley has really changed. But Joe said they are catching a lot of crappie up there at Milford, shooting the docks and off the docks. I know my buddy Kim Burnett there at Hillsdale has been catching crappie all winter, and Melvin has been real good too. But it's just something I can't understand how Melvin has had open water, and up until Martin Luther King Day, we were froze over here. But that's when I caught the channel cat and right here. And I had to wait for the ice. It's just slowly melting, and, you know, it was going to where it allowed me to throw out far enough to get into the fish. And like this morning I'm watching the lake slowly freezing over. Hopefully those temperatures will. And it's just a fine balance, I guess, between when water turns to ice and not. But it's just something to see. Well, Ron, we did finally get this it's called Flatlanders podcast done, and I have that link up on the Watson Outdoors webpage. It talks about our Vamasapa Scar program that we'll be doing our seventh year. One this year, it's going to kick off right now. We have a Zoom meeting coming up Monday just to get this going like we have, and we're looking at getting 75 multicultural families out fishing this year in Emporia. Nice. There'll be more news on that. So, as always, Lon, appreciate you letting us be on the show, and we'll be talking to you.
Yeah, great show. Thanks, Phil. We'll talk to you next month. Appreciate it much. Have a great day.
Okay, I hope the Eagles don't think I'm a winner, kill, and jump on me.
Yeah, get out there.
Maybe, if I lay still enough, I can lure them in. Who knows?
All right, Phil Todd, Once In Outdoors. A monthly feature here, third Friday of the month, KVOE. Live and local, brought to you by our good friends at Express Tire and Auto on East 12th near the Water Tower. John and Jenny and the exceptional crew out there at Express Tire and Auto take great care of you. It's 8:55.
Gearing up for a fight, lawyers for actor Alec Baldwin calling